And welcome to the Root to Revive podcast by Root Sep. My name is Amy, and today we're going to be talking about spirituality with Miss Lauren Tatarsky. Lauren is the senior minister at the Interfaith Center for Spiritual Growth and the founder of Inspired Life Counseling. She has a master's degree in spiritual guidance and a bachelor's of art in international service. She was raised Reformed Jewish and spent time living in an ashram where she received training in yoga, meditation, Hinduism, Buddhism, and Ayurveda. Her postgraduate education experience focused on interfaith and interspiritual studies with an emphasis on spiritual psychology and what it means to engage in a life of spiritual growth. Lauren describes herself as a spiritual eclectic, taking what speaks to her from many different traditions. Lauren is an avid reader, podcast listener, and enjoys learning about psychology, spiritual growth, and mystical traditions from around the world. Thank you for being here, Miss Lauren.
It's my pleasure. I'm so excited. It's happening.
That's right. We are making dreams come true today.
Yes.
Well, when I started thinking about talking about spirituality, you were the first person to come to my mind. So I'm so thankful to have you in my personal life as a friend, mm-hmm. and also as a guiding light in my life as a person that facilitates me on my own personal spiritual path. So
thank you.
Yeah.
It's an honor and so cool how we're connected. So
yes.
Yeah. I love that.
Yeah. Do you want to talk a little bit about how we are connected, how we first met?
Yeah. Well, so we met through your friend and fellow podcaster,
Miss Emma, yep.
And who teaches at the, or used to teach at the yoga studio that I teach at. And then I went up to Emma, actually. I went to one of her classes, and then I liked the studio, and I said, hey, I was thinking, you know, I'm a teacher, and I'm new to town, and are you interested in more teachers? And I got trained at this place called Shoshone in Colorado. And she was like, well, yeah, we're looking for more teachers. And also, I have a good friend who, like, used to go to Shoshone all the time, and so that's how, and so she brought us together over lunch one day.
Yes.
So Shoshone was like this common connection we had, and here we are in Ann Arbor, quite far away from, you know, Nederland,
yes,
Colorado.
That's right.
Yeah, so that was really special because it's a special place for both of us. So.
Yes, it is. Mm-hmm. And we both had lived in Colorado and been part of that ashram, but our paths had not intersected until both moving from Colorado to Ann Arbor, Michigan.
Right, like we never, although you said that you think your mom probably was there when I was working there.
Yes, yeah, that's right.
So I maybe like saw your mom once when I was at Shoshone, but that's it until here in Michigan where we're connected,
I love that. Emma called me the day she met you and said, I think I met your new soulmate.
Yes.
She's a yoga teacher and she went to Shoshone.
Yeah.
And
it's
thought,
a really special place.
Yeah, it is. It's just a very peaceful place, perfect for spiritual growth.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it was the first thing I did right out of college, actually, is I went to do a yoga teacher training there. And then I ended up living really close by. And then I ended up living at the Denver ashram that's associated.
Mm-hmm.
So I was involved for a while, and it was, like, kind of the kickoff, really, to my spiritual journey in a lot of ways. It was, like, the first time I ever really meditated.
Yeah, yeah.
And we did 5:30 to 7 every morning and 7 to 8 at night, so it was, like, jumping right in. But,
yes.
Yeah, I learned. It was a really impactful experience.
Yeah.
Started me on my path for sure.
Yeah, I can credit a lot of my spiritual growth and spiritual excitement, I want to say, waking up to Shoshone as well. So definitely holds a special place in my heart.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah, so cool. So yeah, I'd like to start just by talking about, you know, the general concept of spirituality. So my first question is, how do you define spirituality? What does that mean to you?
Yeah, that is such a good question. And I think about that a lot. I mean, one of the ironic parts of my job, I think, is that a lot of what I'm doing is trying to describe or put into the words the ineffable. Mm-hmm. And, like, the ineffable literally means the thing that cannot be named, right? And, yeah. Like, here we are trying to name it.
Name it, yeah.
but I really, for me, on, like, a very basic level, spirituality is, like, this craving we all have for connection.
Mm-hmm.
So if I were to just boil it down to something, you know, the root of it, for me, it feels like, you know, that, you know, people always say, are you spiritual? Are you not spiritual? And I think in a way we're all spiritual. Like everyone has, like in our bones, you know, this desire for connection, mm-hmm. and this desire for experience of something that is bigger than us, that connects us to something bigger than us, or connects us deeply with ourselves or with each other.
Mm-hmm.
And for me, that's like the root of all spirituality. And like, so I think a lot of people who, you know, are musicians or artists or, you know, are using those mediums in a really spiritual way, whether mm-hmm. or not they call it that, right?
Like, yeah.
It's a connection with yourself and with a deep core part of yourself that's also connected to something bigger and connected to others also. So I would say, like, at the basic level, that would be my definition. And, you know, in practicing that in life, right, that can look so many different ways. And, you know, one of the thoughts you have, I know, is, like, what is the difference between spirituality and religion? And
mm-hmm.
Or is there one? And I think that, you know... Religion has become very culturally complex and, like, you know, taken into a cultural context that kind of, you know, makes it a little bit interesting. And, and I think that religion is an example of the ways that humans have always had a desire for meaning and for understanding existence and for understanding what it is that we sense that is beyond ourselves, because we do sense it. And mm-hmm. so religion has been like the attempts of, you know, of understanding what that is, I think. And so some of those attempts are really culturally influenced and therefore, like, you know, represent a time and place that we maybe don't relate to anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And so I do think, like, for me, you know, there are really fascinating and powerful connections between especially the mystical traditions of different spiritual or religious traditions. Like the common thread is really powerful, mm-hmm. and mostly found in mystical traditions.
Yeah.
And almost always kind of communicates the same message, you know? And again, it's the message about, like, that we are connected and maybe manifestations of something that is bigger than us, and that, you know, whatever word that's being used to define what that is,
mm-hmm.
And that, you know, the goal is connection with that, you know. And mm-hmm. I think something that's interesting about our culture now is we've kind of moved away from, you know, strict religiosity. I feel like there's a lot more people who consider themselves spiritual, not religious now.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's partly because we are, you know, we have used religion in this way that's so disconnecting, and like that we crave reconnection,
mm-hmm.
and religion isn't providing that for us anymore. Yeah. And I think that it's often causing separation, actually. And so when people, you know, want to move through a spiritual path, it's often not a religious path anymore. And so then that's, you know, kind of leads us all to find our own way.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that's a really powerful way to do it. It's a really authentic way, you know?
Yeah.
So yeah, I mean, it's such a rich question, like, what is spirituality? But for me, it really is, you know, about that call for connection. And I think one of the things that I see happening in spirituality is really almost getting back to a more indigenous culture that in regards to what spirituality is or how it's represented, you know, a deeper connection to ritual and to you know, passing along wisdom and mm-hmm. to engaging in community yeah. and to taking care of the earth. I think one of the things that in my generation I see a lot is we're like, we really are aware of our disconnection from the earth and of the impacts of that. Mm-hmm. And so a lot of spirituality now to me seems like reconnecting to nature and reconnecting to, you know, the ways that we are connected to nature
yeah.
and to the earth in a very spiritual way. You know, like I feel that when I'm in a natural setting, like when I'm, you know, near in the woods or near the river, it's like, you know, my access to my own deep connection with my authentic self mm-hmm. is so much more available to me. And then from there, I feel connected to, you know,
yeah,
whatever you want to call that's bigger than myself. But so I think, you know, we see that a lot in the world, in our generation right now, is this wish to get more connected to each other and to the earth. And
yeah, that's so interesting you say it's kind of going back to before when religion made everyone maybe feel like they had to fit in some sort of box, you yeah, know?
Totally. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, in some ways, religion was used as a socializing tool. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, it was used in the ways that, like, schools can be used, which is, like, here's what you do and don't do in this, you know, cultural setting in which we need people to follow certain rules. And, mm-hmm. you know, it was really used in that way, right?
Yeah.
And so I think, you know, we're kind of getting away from that and coming into a more, well, more of a consciousness raising, you know, like we're discovering what is moral based on our own consciousness and our own raising of our own consciousness, right? Like, mm-hmm. as opposed to following some rules laid out for us.
Right. Yeah. Having more of an active role in shaping what that experience can be like.
Mm. Beautifully said, yeah.
Interesting.
And that's the interesting tie to spirituality and authenticity that, you know, I think is relatively new, I think, from yeah. what I can tell, that, you know, that this connection that our generation, I feel like, is making between, you know, being your authentic self or having a sense of what is deeply true to you,
mm-hmm.
that is... you know, something we're really feeling this hunger for is mm-hmm. like, but we have our own inner guidance and that, you know, we want to be listening to that and expressing that. And again, that's an indigenous concept too. Like the, some Native American traditions, like the Lakota and one other, have this concept of, original medicine, like this idea that we all came here with, like medicine for the world, like ways that we're here to like, care for ourselves and care for each other and care for the earth. And it's called original medicine.
Wow.
And it's unique to each of us. The message is that it is unique to each of us and that if we do not express it, it dies with us.
Wow.
So because it is just ours.
Yeah.
So this message of authenticity is another thing that brings us back to that indigenous culture
yes.
before, you know, religion and the way that that came to be more of a socializing tool. And
right.
Yeah, and really this emphasis on, like, who are you deeply, really?
Yes. So if you had to name the main two differences between spirituality and religion, what would you say?
Mm-hmm.
It sounds like a theme that you're saying is this personal growth that is more individualistic,
yeah.
You know, in spirituality versus religion. Would you say that's true?
Yeah, I would say it's true as far as it being a very internalized experience.
Okay,
like, yeah,
yes.
Yeah, a very internalized experience.
Yeah.
And, you know, you'll find that in the mystical traditions
mm-hmm.
for sure, right? And so it is, I think it is very, very a personalized experience now, spirituality versus religion. Whereas religion is something that you're taught and
mm-hmm.
you follow and you do what you're told.
Sure.
And not to say that all religious people relate to it that way, right? Like many people who consider themselves religious have also internalized.
Right. And
that.
Their own way of interpreting that.
Exactly.
And their own individual path within that religion.
Yes.
Yes.
So there are definitely people who are spiritual and religious.
Yes.
Right. And then there are people who are just religious, I think.
Yeah.
Right? And then there are people who are just spiritual. but But yeah, I would say that's a great example of it being something that's really personal and really internalized. And then, gosh, well, this might be the same thing that we're just saying, but like, as opposed to following, you know, something that has been handed to you, it's an inner seeking, you know, mm-hmm. It's like, at least for me, that's what it's been like. It's like really listening to my own inner guidance and having my own experience of whatever that ineffable is,
mm-hmm.
and then letting that be my guide as opposed to kind of following any rule book, right? So I guess that is kind of what we were saying, that yeah. individualized experience.
It also kind of seems like your overall, what you're saying is kind of go with the flow almost.
Mm-hmm.
It shapes your experience and then in turn changes your path a little bit as you go.
Yeah, totally. Absolutely. Yeah, and that's why I like think the spiritual journey always looks like a crooked line, you know? It's never a straight line.
Yeah.
You know, I always like to reflect on that, you know, because I think as soon as people, you know, we in spiritual psychology they call it the trance state. So I've heard it also being called being internally colonized. And it's like we kind of get, you know, internally colonized, or we're just kind of going along with what the culture or the world or our parents or whatever has told us and who mm-hmm. we are and how to be and what's true. And so, you know, the trance state is kind of like going along with those things. And in the trance state, we also carry along with us what we call in spiritual psychology, our wounding. So like our primal wounding. So things that happened, you know, when we were young that either made us stop believing in our goodness or had us like lose our love for ourselves
mm-hmm.
or made us feel separate or disconnected from other people or from the earth.
Yeah.
So all those things kind of add up in our system. And so when we start down the journey of spiritual growth, like one of the first things we do is wake up from that trance state. You know, and that could be something that's really hard that we have to face in our life, something mm-hmm. that happens that's really difficult
yeah.
and makes us challenge the ways we've been living. And sometimes it's a really profoundly beautiful experience, right? People have spiritual awakenings that come in the form of, like, some powerful experience of connection or of knowing, of deep knowing that something beyond is you know, available.
Mm-hmm.
And so those are kind of those waking up experiences.
Mm-hmm.
And those are often what send people on their spiritual journey. But as you go along, right, you the first thing you start to become aware of is all that inner colonization, like
yes.
all the ways that you've come to learn who you are or what your life is about that aren't authentic to you, that don't feel like your calling or mm-hmm. deeply true. And so you have to start, like, shedding all this, you know, misinformation.
Mm-hmm.
And so, like, this kind of that I think once you start doing that and start really listening to that, you know, inner voice, which I would say is the same as the outer voice just coming through, you know, is, like, definitely gonna take you in different directions, you know,
yeah.
that don't necessarily look like the typical path or what was expected of you or what you should be doing.
Yes,
right?
Yeah.
And so it's, I love that concept then of inner colonization, because it is like decolonizing ourselves is kind of like raising our consciousness, like becoming really aware
yeah.
of our insides and what's happening in us, what's mm-hmm. maybe, you know, covering up the deeper sense of who we are and our mm-hmm. connection to ourselves. And then also that expands out into the world of like what we see about the world that isn't, like, we start to notice our disconnection everywhere,
mm-hmm.
and then we're kind of called to do something about it, you know?
Yeah.
So then our path looks wild.
Right.
It usually looks a little
Which
wild.
Is why it's a crooked path
yes.
and not a straight path.
Yes. Exactly. Exactly.
Yes. Wow. And so I think some people, when they hear the word spirituality, it sometimes scares them
mm-hmm.
or it might confuse them. What do you think are some of the main misconceptions that people have when they think about the word spirituality?
Yeah, that's a great question. Great question. And that's like the place where I really wish I could separate the word spirituality from religion. You know, that's like one of those places where, yeah, because I think that's partly why. I think a lot of people have experienced religious wounding, you know, ways that whatever religion they were raised in were actually used against them. Mm. Or, you know, I mean, even the concept of original sin, right, is that, like, something is wrong with you when you're born, and you have to spend your life making it up, right? Yeah. Like, that, if you're raised in that environment, and you come to learn how, like, how colonizing that has been of your sense of freedom and authenticity or whatever, right, then that relationship to religion, if religion was the one relationship to spirituality that you had, and you discover that that religion isn't authentic to you, a lot of people will then completely cut themselves off, right? Because that's the one avenue that's associated with spirituality, is that religion. Sure. And that experience. So a lot of what I find is, like, you know, people will say, well, I'm not spiritual. And then you'll say, so what do you love to do? Oh, I love to play music. Why do you love to play music? Because I enter this place of connectedness where I'm just, like, in the flow, or I'm, like, yes, connected to the music. I'm feeling like I'm kind of me and not me, and I'm just part of this experience, right? I'm like, okay, well, that's spirituality, right? And so I think part of it is just the cultural language that we've used, you know, to describe these things. And so spirituality has been very tied to religion, and it's starting to loosen those ties a lot. But I think that's been a lot of it for people, is feeling like, well, I'm not religious. I don't really want anything to do with religion, and therefore, like, I'm not a spiritual person. And I think it's really profound for a lot of people to begin to expand their concept of spirituality and to realize that it could be whatever speaks to them. You know, that's why I call myself a spiritual eclectic. I'm like, I really do, like, if something, you know, makes my heart flutter, or, like, gives me goosebumps, or, you know, I have, like, certain somatic experiences that for me are like, oh, okay, this is something I should follow. This is something my soul is intrigued by. If they, you know, I think if people saw spirituality as that kind of journey, it would have a different feel for...
different connotation.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it is, and, you know, I used to work with inner city kids in Denver, and, like, one of the things we do is we did a lot of what I would call very deeply spiritual work, but, you know, our meditations, we call them slow downs, like, hey, we're gonna sit and have a slow down right now, right? And they were definitely meditation, but, you know, we call them slow downs. Yeah, and I find that, like, it's great that we're using terms like authenticity, and it's great that we're using terms like your truth, your inner truth, or your inner knowing, you know, that, so there are starting to be other ways to talk about it that are more accessible for people, you know, listen to your heart, like, you know, so I think that is probably helpful for expanding the definition, you know.
Yes.
Without such triggering terminology.
Right. Interesting.
Yeah.
So why do you think spirituality is important? And I know that's a loaded question, being someone who has studied it, you work with spirituality, and in your personal life, you practice spirituality too. So from someone with that much experience, why do you focus on spirituality?
Yeah, God, it's such a good question. So this is why I once was, you know, kind of somewhat accused of, like, being really focused on my career. And I remember just saying, I really don't know what you mean, because my career just is me. Like, it just is who I am. There's actually no separation. Like, it doesn't feel like my career. You know, it feels like who I am. It's like, so for me, like, who I am is, you know, this experience of spirituality, right? And so it's interesting, because for me, I think the importance of it is that it's, like, so epic, actually. I feel like, number one, it's so important because a spiritual journey that leads us to a deep place of connection means that not only do we experience life differently in really profound ways that are incredibly healing, but we also interact with the world in a really different way. And so I think in a large sense of the term, like in a large sense of this, that actually spirituality is absolutely essential to healing our world. I think our disconnection from the earth, like from each other, is mm-hmm. like so emblematic of everything that's happening in our world, right? Mm-hmm. That if we, you know, if we were deeply connected to ourselves in that really healing experience, then, you know, we'd have really different relationships. Like, maybe we wouldn't have countries, you know, we just live as people on the planet, and we'd live in a totally different relationship to the planet. Mm-hmm. So I think for me, in the larger sense, you know, I used to work in humanitarian work, and I used to work in international peace and conflict, right? And I worked for a lot of nonprofits, and I just kept coming up against this thing that was like, this is about human hearts. Like, this, you know, this isn't just about, it is definitely about this, but not just about getting food to the people in need in this country right now, right? Mm-hmm. It is about, like, human hearts that need to know what's happening in the world, and it needs to matter to us what's happening to each other and what's happening to the earth. And I think that happens through spirituality. Like, I think that happens through our own inner work mm-hmm. that kind of breaks us open to what's happening in the world, right? Yeah. Like, and like we were talking about the trans state, I mean, when we're so busy and we're kind of caught up in our own small worlds of, you know, we're living with a lot of our, we're just kind of acting out the things that happened to us when we were younger. I mean, in spiritual psychology, we'd call it like acting out from the wounded place, survival state. We're just surviving, right? Like, we're just surviving. And a lot of people live that way, and it drains us, and it's mm-hmm. exhausting. It leads to all sorts of like mental and physical challenges. So when we start to, like, you know, wake up and travel down a journey that's this spiritual journey of healing and discovery and self-discovery and trust and open-heartedness and breaking our own hearts open, then, like, it totally transforms our relationship to the world.
Mm-hmm. So you're not just in that place of survival. You can maintain and then eventually get to a place where you can heal and potentially grow and thrive.
Yes, hugely. Yeah. And so I think for individuals on an individual level, I mean, it is like absolutely the most incredible journey you can take. I mean, it is wild and it is challenging, and it is also like incredibly freeing and liberating and alive, like feeling alive, I think actually might yeah. be another way to describe spirituality, is the experience of being alive.
Yes.
You know, and even when it's challenging, mm-hmm. like we want to feel alive.
Yeah.
And so I think when we, you know, that on an individual level, when we feel alive, I mean, that can transform our communities, the people around us. And so, and it, like, it definitely transforms our experience of ourselves and yeah. the world. So, yeah. Yeah, and I think that kind of healing, you know, and like we talked about, that decolonization, that kind of awakening to our deeper selves and who we really are, feels to me like the purpose of our existence. You know, it just yeah. feels like why we're here.
Right.
So, yeah, it's quite important.
Yes. Right. Sounds like a lot of good reasons.
Yeah, it feels very important to me, clearly. Yes. It's been my path, yeah.
So tell us about your experience, you know, in your childhood with spirituality and religion. What is your background growing up?
Mm-hmm. So I was raised Reform Jewish, and it was very, like I was, we call ourselves Jewish, you know, mm-hmm. emphasis on the ish, because we're just like culturally very, you know, like, and that's true sometimes of people who are Jewish. Yes. It's like this cultural identification that may or may not be religious necessarily. Mm-hmm. But I did. I got bat mitzvahed, and I went to Sunday school every Sunday, and I learned a lot. I rarely connected that much, really, except for there were some really spiritual experiences that I had, like, at summer camp, at a Jewish summer camp that I went to, we would have these services outdoors, and mostly live music, and that, you know, was a real spiritual experience for me, and I loved those services. And then we would also, there's this service called, I hope I get this right, Havdalah, I believe it is. And it's this beautiful candle, this really big braided candle in the center of the circle. And we used to have all the lights out and just sing around the candle. So again, that kind of ritualistic, very spiritual kind of earth and music and connection.
Sounds beautiful.
It was beautiful.
Yeah.
So those were the experiences really of Judaism that, you know, carried through for me. And there are beautiful mystical traditions in Judaism that are kind of coming back. There's mm-hmm. a lot of new communities that are bringing in that element too, which is really cool. But then, you know, I don't even know when I would have began to refer to myself as spiritual. I really, or, you know, in any way that way. I know when I was really young, I had, like, quotes from all these really, like, about life and meaning and purpose. Like, when I was, like, 11, I would cut them out and, tape them to my walls.
Very different than my walls, which were covered with 98 Degrees and NSYNC and things like that. Yeah.
I know. I was a strange child.
You're ahead of your time.
Yeah, it was definitely, I think, you know, right from the get-go.
Sounds
I was
like
just
it.
So interested in meaning and purpose and why we're here. So I remember I had this, like, quote that, like, when I was a kid, like, 11, that said, what a wonderful life I've had. I only wish I had realized it sooner. I was, like, 11, you know? So, but it was one of my favorite quotes. So I think I just, you know, always... But I did. I don't think I would have known to call it spiritual, right?
Right.
And even when I did yoga, again, I just remember my first experience in Shavasana, and in a yoga class ever, it was like just this incredible experience of both like inner peace, like this sense of calm, but also this amazing sense of connection. And it was like a feeling where like I felt like I was being held.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I didn't even, like, know what that meant, but it was a very transformative experience, and so I was having those kinds of experiences, you know, a lot, and so then I went to the yoga ashram right after college. I just was like, I don't know why, but I just really want to do this at the ashram. Mm-hmm. I don't want to just do the yoga teacher training. I really want, like, to immerse myself in something mm-hmm. that's like this, and so that definitely set me on my path. Yeah.
So that Shoshone or that ashram is where you would say your spiritual path really began mm-hmm. and really took off.
Definitely. Yeah. Definitely.
Wow.
Yeah. And then, you know, it was actually discovering my master's program because I was working for Colorado Youth at Risk, which was doing really amazing psycho-spiritual is what I would call it, mm-hmm. work with youth and mentors. And that was really transformative for me, too. And again, they didn't really refer to it as spirituality. But it was deeply spiritual. I mean, we would go up to the mountains for a four-day retreat, and there was lots of connection between people, lots of deep sharing, really authentic experience. And challenging our ways of thinking about the world, our ways of thinking about ourselves,
mm-hmm.
And very ritualistic. We had a number of really powerful rituals. And I just thought to myself, you know, I want this experience to be what I do. I just want to be, you know, this to be the essence of what I'm doing. And I didn't even know, like, what that would be.
Yeah.
And I stumbled upon my graduate program, and it was a master's in spiritual guidance. And I didn't even know what that meant. But I was like, there's, you know, this one program that's, like, about, you know, about spirituality. And I can get a master's in that. And I think that that might be what I want to do. So that program was actually very transformative for me too.
Yeah.
Because it was so powerful and it mirrored my experience. you know, the experiences that I was having that I couldn't explain, mm-hmm. that I didn't know who to share it with or how to understand it. I, you know, my program had all this history of all these teachers and all these theorists and all these academics who had studied this stuff and written about it and theorized about it,
yeah.
And gave me a way to understand it and also gave me a way to share it.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
And so that was a huge part for me.
Yeah.
Getting my master's. Yeah.
And what are some of the main tools that you use in your daily spiritual practice or tools in general that you find very helpful for someone on a path of, on their spiritual journey?
Mm. That's a great question. So I once heard the term bibliotherapy, and I was like, yes, that is so true. Reading. I read so much. And I think that's an absolutely wonderful way of exploring and you know, being supported, actually, really. There's so many people who have, like, done this work already, you know. And everyone from, like, Brené Brown, so people who are fairly mainstream,
mm-hmm.
who's, like, doing really amazing spiritual work and is now really owning the word spirituality about yeah. it, which is so cool.
Yeah.
So she's definitely going to be doing that good work for our world.
Yes, I love Brené.
Oh, my gosh, she's amazing. So everyone from that to, like, you know, the old mystical traditions or Carl Jung, you know, who mm-hmm. I really love, and Broken Open by Elizabeth Lesser is one of my favorite books. And so I'm just obsessive reader. So that's one of the ways that I read every day. And then for me, actually, freeform dance became a really powerful tool for me. I'm such a somatic person. Like, my spiritual experiences are very experienced very much in my body, mm-hmm. and I'm definitely an emotional and somatic person,
mm-hmm.
and so dance was, like, so great for me because it was a way to, you know, move the energy in my body, whether we want to call it energy or emotion, or, you know, it was a way to, like, I use it to process experiences that I'm having trouble moving through. Like, I dance them. And that sounds kind of wild, but
that's great.
There's a whole program called Five Rhythms Dance developed by Gabrielle Roth, who used to work, or she's no longer with us, but she was at the Esalen Institute in California. And she developed it, and there's been a couple offshoots of it, too, that are really powerful. And it's really, like, it's dancing from, it's getting in touch with your authentic being and kind of dancing from that place, moving from that place. And it's a very, for me, it's very connected. I almost constantly will feel like, you know, there's some level of communication with the earth as I'm dancing, or some level of, there was, like, a time where I was dancing with my palms up and I just felt like something was filling up my palms, like, yeah. with something, with wow. this energy in my palms was really heavy. So I have just a strong connection with dancing. So if anybody who's, like, somatic might really enjoy that.
Is that something you do alone, or do you do it in a group setting, or both?
Well, both. There's a couple groups in Ann Arbor. There's one called Dance Church that I've actually never been to because it conflicts with the time that I'm at the center. But then there's also Dancing Freedom, which is one that I've gone to that's really great in Ypsilanti. So I got into it in Boulder. There's actually a group called Movement Mass in Boulder that has, like, 100, 150, 200 people that come every single week and do this dance. And nice. It's free form. So it's, like, just a lot of people moving really freely in their bodies. Mm-hmm. And it's a powerful experience in and of itself. So movement, yoga, of course, is, you know, kind of a source for me.
Mm-hmm.
I do use oracle cards and yeah. tarot cards. And I just find that to be really enriching, you know, when I am feeling stuck and looking for guidance. Mm-hmm. Like, I often find a lot of inspiration yeah. from that. And I find that, you know, you hear exactly what you needed to hear somehow.
Yes.
You pull the card, that's exactly what you...
Yes.
And those synchronicities that you can find in that.
Absolutely, yes. You helped me choose my set of oracle cards, and I really appreciate that. But I just find oracle cards so intriguing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, they are. They are. It's fascinating how they... work for you so deeply, right?
Yes.
I mean, it's so interesting.
Yeah. And on that note of spirituality in general and talking about that state of feeling in the flow, I seem to notice when I feel like I'm in a good space and when I'm, you know, really connected to my true self and really in the flow, I feel like there's synchronicities that the universe sends you, little signals, almost like little jokes that if you're paying attention, you have to laugh. Have you noticed that too in terms of specific to synchronicities?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Absolutely. I think that's maybe how there's this dialogue between your inner knowing, your inner truth, and the ineffable or some, you know, the universe. I think that's the dialogue is through synchronicity. You know, that's my experience of it. And absolutely. It's often like laughable or like so wild. That's the word I often use about synchronicities. This is wild, you know? And I feel like actually in some big ways, that's how I've even got to Michigan and how I got the job I have. Like there's, you know, almost no reason that I would have been hired for that position because I wasn't an ordained minister and I'm quite young. And I was actually, there was a fabulous woman who was also running for the job who has much more experience. And so I just landed on the job and I just had this powerful feeling about the job. Like I just had this crazy, I thought maybe this is why I came to Michigan and I had no idea.
Right? Yeah. Yeah.
And here we are. It's so clearly to me the case, but I never could have predicted that.
Right.
You know, so it's like you do start to like follow these little signs that show up along your path, and it doesn't necessarily mean the path always goes smoothly, but it definitely means that there's like some things you can use as guidance along the way.
Absolutely, yeah. I do like to keep that connection with spirit. I think that is maybe my main connection when I get those little signals or synchronicities, and it's a big part of how I define my spirituality.
Yes. Yeah, I think that's true for a lot of people actually who have that internalized experience of spirituality is feeling like the universe or the spirit is communicating directly to them through these
guiding them. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Absolutely. Yep.
So tell us a little bit about your role in facilitating spiritual growth in others. So you have many roles and you play a lot of different parts. So tell us just a little bit about some of the roles that you do now.
Yeah, that's a great question. So it's an interesting moment for me because I'm really new to all of it. And it's all very different. So at the Interfaith Center for Spiritual Growth, I'm really, you know, in a group setting. So I'm giving talks to, you know, be usually about 80 to 90 people. And that is a whole different kind of experience than my one-on-one spiritual counseling, which is then a whole nother experience from the women's circles. And so it's like a lot of different avenues. And I find that, you know, for me, in the group setting, a lot of what I notice I'm doing is, you know, I've noticed this trend that some of my talks are kind of like, let's break our heart open kind of talks. Mm-hmm. And then the other talks are like, let's get inspired. Mm-hmm. And it's almost like those are kind of the ways that I go with it. And I think, you know, so I'm, we kind of talked about this a little bit before, is I'm really almost like putting my internal experience of all of this out into the world and just really sharing that, which is incredibly vulnerable and really sometimes frightening.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's been a journey in and of itself, just working with, like, what that's like to, like, lay your soul out on, you know.
Wear your heart on your sleeve for everyone to see.
Yes, and to be doing it in the context of things that, you know, are about like purpose and meaning and the deepest parts of people's souls and hearts.
Yes.
I mean, whoa, you know.
Yeah, you're going deep.
Yeah, I don't joke around, right? So, yeah, so that is powerful because there's definitely a communication that happens even in the group. It's like they're, you know, we are definitely connected.
Mm-hmm.
And I almost feel like there's, you know, some sort of vortex almost, for lack of a better word, that I kind of enter in, like we enter into, and the talk just kind of flows out of me, for better or for worse. Sometimes I find that so scary. But I'm putting, you know, I really am, I share a lot of personal stuff, and mm-hmm. I think that's important.
Yeah.
I think that's a huge part of it.
It must be, because you can't be authentic without sharing pieces of yourself.
Yeah.
At least in my opinion, that's kind of part of it, right?
I think it's a huge part of it. Yeah.
So working with so many people on different spiritual journeys, mm-hmm. these different spiritual avenues that you have, what have you seen that are some common barriers that people run into on their spiritual path?
Fear. I think fear is a huge one. Because it is. I mean, if you think about the process of, you know, discovering maybe the things about your life that you haven't paid attention to, mm-hmm. right? Things that you haven't, that you have thus far avoided thinking about, right?
Mm-hmm.
And or facing. And so you start to face that stuff. So that's scary. And then when you do find those synchronicities and you find that, you know, really exciting kind of inspirational part, that can be sometimes scary too because of what it calls you to do, right?
Yes.
Like it might call you to leave a relationship or a job or a place, you know,
mm-hmm.
and that can be scary too. So I find that fear is a lot of what gets in our way. Fear of, you know, experiencing something that we, you know, maybe haven't wanted to face, or and then the acting upon our callings is, mm-hmm. I think, always confronts us with fear. So that's a big part of it, I think.
So it's scary if you do dive in, and it's scary if you don't dive into spirituality.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I think that overcoming fear is one of the most liberating parts of growing spiritually, actually,
mm-hmm.
is coming out of that space where we're mostly avoiding things because of our fear,
right?
And starting to face all those things, and then realizing that you or you and this spirit are bigger than your fear, is one of the most liberating parts, I think, of spiritual growth, and one of the most empowering things. And so I find that's a big barrier. And I think, you know, another barrier too is this tendency that we have to really want to feel good all the time.
Yeah.
I think that one of the common misperceptions of spirituality is that it's like we ride on this wave of like ecstatic bliss and joy. And not to say that that's not part of it, because it absolutely is part of it. And
mm-hmm.
I think those experiences increase as we grow spiritually.
Mm-hmm.
So it is actually like one of the ways that we are encouraged to keep going is because we have more and more of those experiences. But I think one of the things that's really common is wanting those experiences of spirituality at the cost of doing the deeper work.
Yes.
And the deeper work is, you know, shadow work is often what it's called. And it's like, you know, working with the parts of ourselves that you know, we have not wanted to mm-hmm. look at now, you know, for whatever reason, because whatever story we have about them is scary for us.
Yeah.
And so wanting to, I think that's a common barrier that I find. And we're a culture that perpetuates this, like, you know, like, the, you know, you have to always seem up. Beat. And how are you doing? Just fine. How are you? Like, we're all doing just fine, right?
Oh,
like,
yes.
Everything's great.
And social media plays a big role in that,
huge,
right?
Huge.
Yes.
Yeah, this presentation of having to be okay all the time.
Sure.
Be more than okay all the time. having to have ecstatic experiences all the time.
Right.
And so I think that's one of the misconceptions that also throws people off is, like, you know, there have been times along my spiritual journey where I'm like, why? Like, I would never have chosen this work that I'm doing right now. Like, this is hard and painful and confusing and difficult and, you know, why would I ever choose this, you know? And I think we all come upon times like that in our growth, like, where we're having to work with something that's harder. And I think that is actually sometimes the meat of spiritual growth, because that is what allows for deeper liberation.
Right.
Like, once we work through things,
or
even once things are just conscious to us,
mm-hmm.
we have freedom around that. And so, you know, encouraging ourselves to do it even when it's hard,
yes.
you know, and to stay awake even when it's painful.
Right. Yeah. Because I've heard the concept of spiritual bypass.
Yes.
Which is what it makes me think of, kind of what you're describing when you say...
That's exactly what it is.
You're just looking for that ecstatic experience at all times, and everything is fine, I feel great, and it's this autopilot, almost a projection of happiness, without doing the real work, without really cleaning out your closet.
That's so well said.
And reaching that really low point, which there is beauty in the bottom.
Mm-hmm. Ah, so much wisdom in the bottom.
And then climbing out of that dark space and then getting to that place of happiness.
Yes.
You know, so I think spiritual bypass is something that isn't talked about as often as it is projected.
Yes. Oh, I'm really glad you said that. With my class at Washtenaw Community College, the entire last two-hour class is devoted to the concept of spiritual bypass because I find it so important. And because so many people, because it is so ingrained in our culture that, you know, this kind of wish for, you know, the blissful and not the challenging, right?
Mm-hmm.
So it's like a huge concept for people to wrap their minds around sometimes.
Yeah.
And I think it is absolutely essential. For me, I think that true authentic growth actually comes from the shadow.
Yes.
That there can't actually be any consciousness raising without that. Because it really, that's where consciousness gets raised, is in the places you haven't looked at, because they're not conscious to you, right? So I think it is, you know, such a core thing. So I'm glad you brought that up. And there's a great book called Spiritual Bypassing by Robert Masters that I definitely recommend if you want more on that.
Yeah.
So.
Which leads me to my next question.
Yeah.
For somebody who's just starting on their spiritual journey, what would you recommend to them? Tips to get started, tools to use, just, you know, when someone's diving into spirituality.
Mm. That's such a great question.
Which I'm sure is hard to answer because it's different for every person.
True. That's true. I mean, you know, the ways that I'm just thinking back to what I did, the ways that I really found, like, my favorite books and my favorite authors, my favorite teachers was, like, at Tattered Cover in Denver, Colorado.
Oh, it's a great store.
Yes. They have a whole section called Spiritual Growth.
Yeah.
So if you have a bookstore or something like that where you can go and just, like, I just looked around and I just saw this title of this book and it just went straight to my gut, you know? It was like, oh, it was like just the title. And
yes.
that was one of the first most powerful books called Broken Open by Elizabeth Lesser. And I ended up actually writing her because I was so blown away by this book. And, It was so transformative for me. And so that led me to other things because she mentioned a number of authors in that book. And and so it's like one thing just led to another.
Sure.
And I just kept reading and I just kept falling. And there's, you know, depending on where you live, I guess, there's so much out there now. There's so much available to us, almost in a way that it can feel overwhelming. And so I think a big part of it is just, you know, what do you read or hear that, like, deeply resonates with you, you know, and deeply, like, it should feel like deep nourishment and also like, wow, I really need to hear this right now.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And so that's the kind of thing that you want to just follow, you know? And I think it can feel like, you know, I have a friend who talks about her shrine that she has, like, Ganesh and Jesus and, you know, like, a candle and then a picture of her grandma. And, you know, it's, to me, it's, like, doesn't really matter what it looks like or where it fits, as long as it's something that, you know, your innermost being is saying yes this, right? You know?
Okay.
So part of my answer to that really is to, you know, listen to your own guidance and keep seeking, you know, and everything I've ever done came from a leap of faith of, you know, my grad program. I showed up in California. I had no idea if it was going to be anything good at all. I hadn't heard of anyone going to that program before or anything. And I just left and I was like, well, I have to see. And it was incredibly transformative, you know. And if it wasn't, right, I had told myself that I could turn around and go home if that's it wasn't the right thing. Yes. So that's the other thing that's important, is to have a level of discernment.
Yes.
Because there is so much out there and not all of it is deeply rooted or, you know, or that authenticity is, you know, there's definitely some things out there that are strong in their spiritual bypass that you want to be able to discern.
Sure.
Like, is this really what I want to do or what speaks to me deeply or what's going to help me grow. So,
right. Which is why it's important to really get to know yourself and know your, you know, what's authentic to you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I would also say that a really good therapist, and I say a really good therapist because there's a lot of therapy that is now much broader than it used to be. Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of therapists that do deeply spiritual work, mm-hmm. right? In the concept of spiritual growth, that is just, you know, mind, body, spirit, like, right? It can't be disconnected.
Yeah.
There's no, like, you know, it, to me, our psychology and our spirituality and our bodies are so linked, right? So therapists who really know that well mm-hmm. and do that work, that can be amazing for your spiritual growth and for supporting you on that path. And spiritual counselors or spiritual directors also.
Yes.
So finding the right person, like the right guide, is really helpful. Just to have some support and some direction and some wisdom. And
gosh, such great advice for anyone starting or in already on a path of spirituality.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Totally.
So we have two questions that we have on our podcast.
Oh, fun.
My first question is, when do you feel most grounded? And we ask these questions because our podcast is, you know, rooting down into authenticity. So that's what we're hoping this podcast gets to. So that's why we always wonder, how do you feel most grounded?
That's a great question. So I probably feel most grounded. I'm a Cancer, so I feel very grounded at home.
I am a Cancer too. Yes. I can relate to that.
Yes. So I feel really grounded when I have my books around me and a mug of tea and, you know, I'm in my space and that's a very grounding experience for me. And then in nature, I, you know, being in the woods, being near the water, so a lot of it, is that my environment and my my experience in my body. So yoga and the dance and being in nature and being at home. So those things that nourish you, you know, I call them spiritual food. It's like just things that, that always helps me ground a lot.
That makes sense.
Getting out of my head, too.
Yes.
It's very grounding.
Very much so.
Yeah.
Yep. And the next one is, what do you do to feel most rooted in your authenticity?
Oh my gosh. I love that question so much.
Yeah, it's important to try to answer it in a world that we're constantly projecting things that want to set you off course from your own authenticity.
That's right. One of my favorite quotes is an E.A. Cummings quote, and it says, to be yourself in a world that is constantly trying to make you just like everybody else is to fight the hardest fight and to keep on fighting, something like that, if I got it all right. And it definitely feels like that.
Yeah, day after day.
Day after day. And so how do I stay grounded in my authenticity? It is hard, and I'm surrounded by people all day and who have lots of opinions to share with me, which is great, but it definitely is hard to stay connected to my own truth sometimes. So I think, for me, a big part of it is continuing to do my own work you know, to continue reading the things that that really, you know, breathe truth to me.
Mm-hmm.
And to see my spiritual counselor and to, you know, have friends and people in my life who I can be totally myself with, you know, and I can be completely authentic with. And, and you know, I'm a big quote person, you know, I have a lot of quotes around my house. I have a lot of quotes that I take to my sessions, a lot of quotes I read during my talks. And I think other people who have done this work and who have messages to share about authenticity are so helpful for me.
Yeah.
And sometimes it's also that inner work of taking a moment in my day to, like, clear my head and reconnect with myself. And some of that for me has to do with, you know, releasing some of my self-doubt and allowing myself to trust myself.
Mm-hmm.
And allowing myself to, you know that, like, I can trust that part of myself and that that's where I want to be guided from. So that's kind of an internal piece that I try to do on a regular basis,
yeah.
You know, and through meditation or through just taking a few breaths. And, but I think, you know, staying rooted in your authenticity is like another way of saying the spiritual journey or, you know, spiritual growth is about being rooted in your authenticity, right? So,
yep.
So it's like all parts of the journey apply for me there, you know?
Yes, absolutely.
Oh. But I do find that it is definitely something I have to fight for sometimes.
Yes, and I think that's fair. I think it would be strange if you didn't have to fight for it.
Yeah.
Because then at that point, you would have already mastered it.
Yeah.
And I'm not sure. I will definitely never get there. Not in this lifetime.
Right. And that's absolutely, you know, I think that's absolutely true, is we don't ever just arrive, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It's a constant journey.
Yes.
So to be really, you know, forgiving of ourselves and then, yeah, to keep on going.
Yeah. Oh, well, Lauren, thank you so much.
This
for
was a
everything.
Pleasure. I had so much fun.
I know. I did too. So where can people go to learn more from you and more about spirituality?
Yeah, great. Well, so I have a website with my private practice, Inspired Life Counseling A2. The letter A, the number 2, at .com. And then if you want to check out the Interfaith Center for Spiritual Growth, we have awesome services on Sundays from 10:45 to 12:15. And it's a really great kind of non-denominational, full of spiritual eclectics, spiritual people on a journey. So you can always check that out. And we have lots of events there and workshops and things like that too. We have a website, interfaithspirit.org.
Wonderful.
Yeah, thank you. This was such a great time.
Yes, well, thank you so much, Lauren. I really appreciate you being on our show today and sharing your wisdom about spirituality.
My pleasure. Thank you for doing this.
Yes,
I'm excited.
Of course. All right. Well, thank you, everyone, for listening.